endless, mystical relationship with Him. But God created us that we may know Him and experience Him and enjoy Him. My great-grandmother, who lived to be 98, and she was born in like 1879 or something like that, all right? In fact, or 1881. So anyway, she was at Sue and my wedding, and it was fantastic, you know. But I once asked her what was the most important of all the discoveries that she experienced. Now, she would have seen so much, right? Spanish-American War. She would have seen World War I and the great flu pandemic, and she would have been through the Great Depression and the Second World War and all the stuff, people landing on the moon, airplanes, cars, all that stuff. And I asked her, I called her Gacky. Gacky, what was the most important? What changed your life the most? And she says, without question, it was the telephone. Now, in the olden days, it was like you were on a line, and if it rang so many times, it was, you know, your number, if it rang 15, you know, whatever, and you could listen in on other people's calls and all that kind of stuff. Can you imagine? But people wouldn't do it because, you know, that was uncool. But anyway, she said, no, I mean, we would come in from Redwood Valley to Ukiah for church. We'd hook up the horse and buggy, and it would take quite some time to do that. Then the journey, the 10 miles from Ukiah, from Redwood Valley to Ukiah, would take a bit of time, right? And so you want to get together with friends afterwards. It's so convenient. You know, you'd hook up your horse and buggy and go to somebody else's house, and they're not there. So the convenience of that is the convenience of communication. And ultimately now we take it for granted. In fact, there's places where with my cell phone, I know that there are dead spots, right? In fact, Sue and I, hope she didn't mind, we have a secret formula with this. When we're coming back from Santa Rosa and we're going through Hopland over 175, there's a roundabout there. We always call each other at the roundabout because we know that our phones between there and Lakeport, they often will not work. And we want to know, hey, sometimes there's rock slides or robbers or whatever it could be. Who knows, you know? And ultimately, highwaymen, yes. And I want to know that if she says, hey, I'm at the roundabout, and 4 hours later she's not home, I'm going to go look for her, or she's going to look for me. Right? Same thing now. I've figured out between here and Williams, there's a significant dead spot of about 20 minutes or so, maybe 25 minutes. So I think it's a good idea for us to do that because there are dead spots. Here's what I have to tell you, if you don't get anything else. There are no dead spots from God. His line is always open. The only dead spot is the dead spot that you and I provide by refusing to talk to Him. And so we see here the Apostle Paul saying, listen, all being said, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. He died on the cross for our sins. And here's how you should live your lives and how you can be filled with joy. But here's what you need to do now. You need to be people of prayer, devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. So here's four aspects of prayer that we want to look at. Now, it's interesting here is that this prayer is in a context, and I would say this. I believe that these prayers are in the context of what the big issue is. And the big issue is evangelism. All right? So here we have it. The first of the four aspects of prayer. First, it says devoted persistence to prayer. It literally means a gritty determination for prayer. That's how I get the job done. My grandfather, I said before, he used to tell me when I would work for him, hey, the job doesn't get done by looking at it, you know. I mean, and prayer doesn't get done just because we think about it. Thinking is not praying. Now, prayer is thinking. Just because I'm worrying about something doesn't mean I'm addressing God. So prayer is addressing our Heavenly Father. And it says to be persistent in it. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, Jesus gives the parable of the person who comes who keeps bugging this judge. day and night, day and night, day and night, asking this and this and this and this. And finally the judge said, man, I'm weary. Yeah, okay, you get what you want. Now, Jesus came up with that parable. Now, does he get bugged when we pray and pray and pray? No, he just uses an example. A gritty determination to pray. A gritty determination to pray. A long suffering in prayer. I want to have you raise your hand if there's something or a person or a situation you've been praying for decades or for your lifetime. Keep praying. Our Heavenly Father hears our prayers. I got plenty of those. So the first one is a devoted persistence. It says, devote yourselves to prayer. Next, it says, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So keeping alert in it, or an alert watchfulness. An alert watchfulness. So what does that mean? So we're being devoted to it, but then there's another aspect about an alertness. It's like a radar. Your radar is on for, boy, I had to pray about that. I had to pray about that. You're realizing this is in the context of spiritual warfare. And you're praying as if you were a soldier. Can you imagine if you were a soldier and your job was to be an advanced scout, or you were put in some place where you're, hey, listen, if you see those tanks coming across the hill, radio that in. Right? And you didn't radio it in. You were sleeping or whatever you were doing. You would be criminally negligent. You would be court-martialed, shot probably. Because that's your job. Be watchful. And so this is the word that he's using here. My grandfather, Jack, in Ukiah during the Second World War, he was too old to go, and they considered him better for him to stay. So he was in charge of civil defense. And one of the things they would do up on Pine Ridge, a place called Paxton Peak, that's between Ukiah and the coast, there's a little concrete bunker. And people would be assigned to go. You'd be rostered in, just like VBS. Right? Why? Because, hey, if the Japanese can make it to Pearl Harbor, they can make it to Ukiah. And so people would be rostered in, and you would go up, and you would be watchful. And you had a book that showed every kind of shadowed shape of different types of aircraft, and you'd make a log and write it down. You were being watchful. Friends, that's how we're supposed to be, towards our family, our children, our grandchildren. Be watchful. Be on the alert. Don't fall to sleep or lulled to sleep in your prayer life. Amen? All right. I believe one of the enemy's great strategies is for us to be unalert. We get our minds fragmented, worrying about all kinds of stuff instead of praying. So we're supposed to be devout in our prayers. We're supposed to be alert and watchful in our prayers. And then it says, with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, interesting, when you look at New American Standard, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So the thanksgiving somehow helps us stay alert in prayer. And I believe the alertness helps us stay devoted to prayer because of the intensity of it. So what a powerful thing then thanksgiving is. Now, what is thanksgiving? That is believing God is on the throne and he knows what he's doing. Is there something in your life right now where you're doubting that God's on the throne and he knows what he's doing? Friends, we got to be filled with thanksgiving. We ought to be always thanking him. I mean, and it's... Yesterday I was thinking, man, I don't like this rain. Then I think, well, this is kind of nice to have rain. So thank you, Lord, for this rain. I had to drive to Santa Rosa in the rain. It was kind of, there's spots of puddles and stuff, hydroplaning. I said, hey, thank you, Lord, for getting me to Santa Rosa safely. my daughter needed to meet with some person with her orthopedic shoes, and we went down there, and it was a very successful interaction with the shoe salesman. I praise God for that. Amen. Friends, we that's how we stay alert in prayer, with an attitude of thanksgiving. And there are plenty of things, ultimately, that we wonder, Lord, how come you haven't answered this prayer yet? Life would be simpler if this prayer was answered. And ultimately, we just read the scriptures and we see examples of those men and women of God who prayed persistently, watchfully, devotedly. We know the Lord will come through. It may not be answered the way exactly you want, but it'll be right and for His glory. I love the song "Through It All," right? I won't sing it to you, but I could, but I won't. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Friends, you need to know that when in my own personal life, when I'm not devoted to prayer as I should, and I'm not alert in it, and I'm waning in my thanksgiving, it has a terrible effect on my soul. It makes it so foggy. It makes everything seem cloudy, like what's going on. But when I pray, it always clarifies. That's what prayer does. Prayer clarifies. Part of it is we're putting in God's hands. Amen? So here we look at this, is that we have being devoted, we have being alert and watchful. We here we have the issue of thankfulness or thanksgiving in our prayer. And then we see that our prayers should be targeted and specific. Look here. Praying at the same time for us. So let me say that. Praying at the same time for us. So those are our general prayers. That's your prayers. But also be praying for us. And here's specifically what it says. Praying that God may open up for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the Word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I have been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in order that I ought to speak. So I want to look at three things here, specifically on these prayers, and as targeted prayers and specific prayers for other people. Now, if this is a war, then I believe that God has provided in His war special forces. Now, I don't know if any of you here have had special forces training. You probably could, like, break my neck just like that, you know. But, you know, or, you know, make fire out of nothing, you know. You've been trained, all right? Hiding behind enemy lines and all kinds of stuff, living off nothing. And the issue is that you're a special forces. Why? Because you are you're the tip of the spear. And I believe here Paul is saying, I believe Paul and his friends, Aristarchus and Timothy and others, I believe they're the tip of the spear. And he says, please pray for us. They're special forces. I believe that every one of us should have a list in our Bible or on our refrigerator or somewhere of every one of our missionaries. You should be praying for them every day. I can't even imagine the responsibility. I was talking with John Ramey last night, and what a responsibility. Here's these pastors in Niger, and they're wondering, they can't even sleep at night because of all the terrorists and stuff, and John's, you know, kind of shepherding the shepherds, you know. Pray for John, for great wisdom. Hey, Pastor John, they call him Daddy. Daddy, what should we do? They're threatening to kill us. Should we stay here or should we move? What would you say? So you need to pray for the tip of the spear. Pray right now for the Whigs in India. Why? Because this week, by the 23rd, the elections of India will all be sorted out. And whoever's the new prime minister and all that stuff, all the PMs and stuff like that, members of parliament, MPs, if they're anti-Christian, it makes it very, very difficult. And many of them have been. Those folks are the tip of the spear. We had the Zimmermans here. They're back up in Alaska. One of the most darker places because of all of the different worships and stuff of the native folks and everything else. And hey, they're the tip of the spear. Pray for them. Lift them up. We have a tip of the spear. We're going to be doing ministry with Vacation Bible School, right? You know, if you can discourage those in leadership, then, man, it's pray for the tip of the spear. Can you do that? Pray for your pastors. Pray for me. Pray for Paul and Jason, and pray for Katie and Jeff. Pray for Colette, who's answering the phone. Pray. Why? Because not that we need more prayer than you do. We don't. But the fact is this, that's the tip of the spear. There's something that's going on, and Paul is saying, please pray for us. Please pray for us. And I promise you this, is that we will make a new and updated list of every missionary and a new list of how you need to be praying for them. Some of the things you'll be praying for we can't publicize because, I'm not kidding you, is that they have secret agents out there trying to figure out, hey, that guy's a missionary, let's go kill him or throw him in jail. So we have a targeted and specific, and first we pray for, I'll call them the special forces. Next, pray for openings for the gospel opportunities. He calls it here a wide door, or an open door for us. Here's some other open doors. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9 and 10, I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened up to me, and there are many adversaries. 2 Corinthians 2:12, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, a door was opened for me in the Lord. In Revelation 3:8, Jesus says to the church of Philadelphia, behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. Friends, here's what I pray. I pray for an open door in Lake County. And when the door is open, don't just stand. It's not just stand there like some bird dog. That's what bird dogs do. You know, point at the bird, you know. Let's go through the door. If we're praying for a wide door, then let's go through it. So we pray for a wide door into the lives of children, or a wide door into the lives of teenagers. And I want to tell, you know, I want to tell Pastor Paul, thank you for your courage, thank you for your vision. Because this guy's been working hard. Amen. All right? Now, not working hard because he gets extra bonus or something like that. It doesn't work that way. In heaven, yes. But here's the thing. He said, you know what? I'm not satisfied with just taking this. I want more kids to go because I want more kids to come to Christ and grow in Him. And so, let's do a countywide youth conference, and we'll use that, parlay that, and to do a fundraiser doing golf, and then maybe we can have over 100 kids go to camp, and I guarantee it's going to happen. But it didn't happen because he sat around. He and his staff and the church behind him said, you know, yeah, let's do that. Talk is cheap. Paul says, pray for us that the door is open. It may be discouraging for Paul. He's finding himself now in a prison cell. It's not exactly what he had in mind. He wanted to go to Spain. But we know when we read the book of Philippians, he says, even being in prison has provided an open door for me to preach to the Praetorian Guard. Friends, we not only pray for the special forces, but we pray specifically that God would open doors, that He would open doors for us in Lake County. And then when we pray that prayer, we got to get ready to move. You know, and sometimes the door may be a small one, maybe just the door into the life of a person. Now, he prays also, next part of his prayer, is for the mystery of Christ to be made plain. I love this. Okay, that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, which we have also been in prison, or do we make it clear in the way we ought to speak? So it's interesting here, he uses two words. He uses the word clear and mystery. To many people, the whole concept of Christ and the gospel is just mysterious. Because they grew up in a place where someone said, no, you're just an accident of time. Chemistry experiment called the Big Bang, and all of a sudden you're just an accident of the cosmos. There is no God. you're not responsible to anyone other than whatever tribe you determine to be part of. Right? Well, the Bible says, no, you were created. Not only created, but you're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we have this reality that Paul says, I want to make sure not only that I have an open door, but then when I speak, it's clear. I'm able to make clear the mystery. Now, here are some of the mysteries. First of all, that the Son of God should become a man, that he should live a life of poverty and love, that he should die in a place of sinners and bear on a curse of the law through which he was sinless, that he would be raised from the dead and reign in heaven today, that the ungodly will be justified by faith in Christ and Christ alone, the Jew and Gentile alike, both red and yellow, black and white, should be reconciled in one body in Christ, and that Christ should dwell in our hearts and seal us forever in glory. Those are mysteries. And he's praying that people would get it, all right? So here's the other thing. Not only that the special forces would be protected, but that wide doors would be open, but next here is that when they proclaim the word, it would be abundantly clear. I pray the same for, I praise God for our Awana program and our youth program and our children's ministry. Why? Because what we're trying to do for children and youth is make the gospel clear. Friends, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Really, I realize that. But it is the work of people because it is the choice of our words. It's the choice even of our curriculum at times of how we do this. So we pray for the mystery of Christ to be made plain. I pray the same for Lake County. You know, in many, many families in Lake County, maybe the majority, you'd have to go back maybe three generations before there would be anyone who would be biblically literate. I remember in Ukiah, this is years ago, talking about King David. And someone came up after and says, was that before or after King Arthur? I said, well, probably before, yeah. I mean, because they were just curious. They didn't know. Friends, we realize is that the people will walk in darkness, but we walk in the light. And we're supposed to come alongside them as their guides and tutors and tell them, hey, here's what it means. Amen? All right. So the first thing is the connection with God through prayer. And I'm going to land the plane here. Is a connection with people through wise conduct and seasoned speech. Let me read this. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. Okay, we want to say three things here in closing. One, first is we should take, if in fact the big picture is pray, but ultimately is towards the big issue of evangelism, of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So the special forces are doing it, right? And you may never be a missionary to Congo. And even if someone wanted you to be a missionary to Congo, you may want to ask 14 times because it's the most dangerous place in the world. But God can send people to Congo still. But maybe he hasn't called you. Maybe he said, hey, I've called you to Lake County. Well, praise the Lord. That's a tough nut to crack too. Let's get going. And so part of it is here. Here's how to do that. Connect with people through wise conduct and seasoned speech. So the first thing is wise behavior. Connect yourself with wisdom towards outsiders. One of the reasons why we're doing a series out of the book of Proverbs is because I believe that our society has thrown off wisdom. And has basically said, well, whatever you feel like doing, that's fine. In fact, what wisdom or common sense has become tribal. That means whatever tribe or group of people that are key to you, whatever they think is wise, that's what you do, right? So I've noticed, you know, I was in Safeway, and this man was being rude to, there's an older lady in front, and she was having a hard time figuring out her coupons and stuff like that. And then she wanted some of the little monopoly things. And she was just, you know, taking more time. And the guy behind, he's just like, his life has been lost because it took him 3 other minutes. And he was just rude. And I didn't do it that time, but one time before I said, listen, why don't you gotta give her a break? Then you're getting, you know, then you risk being attacked by someone, right? But I'll, you know, whatever. Friends, we live in a world that's not filled with wisdom, and so we're going to be studying the book of Proverbs. I want to encourage you to read whatever chapter of Proverbs coincides with the day of the week. I've been starting that already. You already have a Bible, but I'll be providing for you a copy of the book of Proverbs so that you can make notes in it and so on and so forth. But here's what it says. Behave wisely towards outsiders. Now here's 4 ways to get wisdom. One, we meditate on Scripture. Psalm 19, verse 7. Testimony of the Lord is true, making wise the simple. So that's one of the ways. Be a man or woman of the Word of God. You grow wise. Next is prayer. If anyone asks for lax wisdom, ask of God. That's what James says. Next is sound counsel, and we see that in the book of Proverbs, wise counselors. And next, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, the practice of principles of the real life experience. Or it's like the school of hard knocks makes you wise. So it says be wise towards people. That means be biblical. Be as Christ towards other people. Next, it says be salty or gracious with your speech. You know, I like salt on my food, you know. I have a little thing, grinder, like Himalayan salt, you know. And we have all these kinds of salts now, you know, like gray salts and salts from all over the place. I don't know if it's any better for you, but it looks cool. And I'm grinding on it, and it tastes better. And so here's the thing, is that when you interact with people, here's the picture. You're to be gracious, and it's to be salty. That makes people thirsty. It's more palatable. I don't know you very well. You don't know me very well, but God does. And friends, every word from our mouth speaks to our relationship with the Lord. So, if you want to have an impact for the cause of Christ, live wisely. Next, let your speech be filled with grace and saltiness. Yeah, but Gary, but if you hadn't met this person that I met, you know, well, I didn't write the Bible. It says that's how we're supposed to respond. It doesn't mean you can't rebuke someone or you can correct somebody. But Proverbs says you better be ready for someone to come back in your face. But here's what it says. Both our opportunities should be wisdom and our speech should be filled with grace and salty. John Piper put it this way. I think the answer is simply to spend time every day reminding ourselves from Scripture of why the gospel tastes so good. Some of us who have been Christians for a long time begin to neglect the crucial business of enjoying Christ. Do you enjoy Christ? Do you enjoy your relationship with Him? That's part of what makes you salty and tasty. And the last thing is that individual attention. How do we make every opportunity? By wise behavior, salty speech, and individual attention. Here's what it says. So that you may know you should respond to each person. You know, your friends and people you come in contact, every one of them is different, right? Every one of them has, you don't really know what they're going through. A book I read, guy was in a subway sitting down, and this husband comes in, and he's got 4 kids, and the kids are being noisy and pushing each other around, and this man who's observing this father, the father looked kind of off and the outer space. He was getting judgmental. He goes, man, this guy's a terrible dad. Man, if I was their dad, I would be putting them in their spot, and so on and so forth. And finally, it got so bad that the guy gets up and says to the father, hey, what's going on? And the guy, like out of a daze, said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. I just found out that my wife is dying of cancer. Didn't it put the whole thing in a different perspective, didn't it? Wow. This guy's spaced out because his soul is spaced out. Lord, if the Lord has been gracious to us, let's be gracious to those around us, even when they don't deserve it like we don't deserve it. That's what mercy is. That's how we're going to crack the nut of Lake County. We're going to be people of prayer. We're going to pray for the special forces. And then we're going to realize that we're in the Army too. And we're going to make the most of every opportunity. And we're going to do that by living wisely. And every word from our mouth will be filled with grace and make people salty, tasting. Man, I need more of that. So that we may see each person as an individual that God loves and Christ died for. Amen? It is so great to be part of this church, part of the body of Christ. And it's my prayer as we have ministries with young people in Nuwana and Sunday school to reach them at a young age, and ministries with teenagers, with refuge, to reach them during those turbulent and exciting years of being a teenager. As we have small group ministries to help people get established, and we have Celebrate Recovery, where people who, man, things have not gone so well, and it's stuff's pulling them back. Friends, that's where we stand in the gap and say, hey, there is hope. Jesus Christ can set anyone free. He can set this county free. 100-some-odd years ago, the most difficult place, toughest nut to crack, missionaries said, was the country of Korea. Today, it's one of the most Christian nations in the world. Persistent prayer, salty living, the grace of Christ. That's what we offer this place. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy. We ask now, Lord, as a church, that you would help us to make the most of every opportunity with wisdom. Lord, that we with grace in our speech may make people salty and thirsty for you. And help us, Lord, to see each person we come in contact with as an individual that you died for, that you love. Help us, Lord, to always pray for the tip of the spear, the special forces of our missionaries and leaders and elders and pastors around the world and even here, Lord. We pray your hedge of protection, courage, wide door for effective service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's going to stand and sing the song that I taught you earlier, Make Us One. Make us one, Father God, make us one, that the world may know you gave your only son. Fill us with the love you've given us to share, and protect us from the evil everywhere. For you have shown us that together we can be a reflection of your love and unity. Fill us from the old nature of sin, that your image may be seen in us again. And the eternal love, all the glorious riches of your love. And we'll tell the world the truth of how you be, and to show them that the love of God is real. That the world may know, that the world may know, that the world may know that Jesus' love is real. Amen. Heavenly Father, take us from this place. Make us one. We are so different, so many different people, personalities, backgrounds. We just, Lord, knit us together. We pray, Lord, for the tip of the spear, our missionaries. We ask, Lord, blessings and power. Open doors for them. We pray, Lord, for every pastor, every elder and church leader around Lake County, that they would be men and women of your word, that they would be strong in you. We pray, Lord, for summer camp with the youth. We pray for the 100-plus kids that will be there and their staff. We pray that you would grant great energy and discernment to the staff as they help. I pray that each student that goes would make a renewed commitment to you. We pray, Lord, for Vacation Bible School, that every person we need, the team would come together soon. We just thank you for the lives of people that will be changed. Thank you for the privilege of being called your child and your church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave, I need about half a dozen people to help tear down next door, because that was our lifeboat in case we had too many. So if you could head on over there, I'll show you what to do. God bless you. Have a great day.